And welcome back to our Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today we have Amy Kelly. She is the Director of Family Community Services at Devereaux Advanced Behavioral Health. And welcome, Amy.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, Devereaux comes in here all the time, and usually we're chatting about kids with autism spectrum disorder, but today we're going to cover a lot more, and I hate to say the words, we're going to talk about back to school as well.
That's right. It's getting there.
Oh, it is getting there, believe it or not. But let's start off with a quick overview. What is Devereaux Advanced Behavioral Health?
Devereaux is a mental and behavioral health organization, and we've been around since 1912, so 107 years. It began in the Philadelphia area, and we're now in 13 states. We have over 7,500 employees, and we help all different kinds of individuals with special needs from birth till end of life. Autism is one of our areas of expertise, but we also help individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities, many mental health conditions. We offer community services, school services, consultation services, residential care, acute hospital care. So we really cover the gamut.
And you have a daughter who's been receiving services at Devereaux.
I do. My daughter Annie, who is 17. She's been there since she was 5, and that is the reason why I work for Devereaux. It was absolutely life-changing for my family.
It's funny that, and I commented about this before the show began, that so many families end up working there or staying there long after they might have finished the programming.
Yeah, I say I'm a lifer. I mean, it was, again, if I can give back to the organization and the community because of the change that Devereaux made for my family, I'm happy to do so.
One of the things before, again, the show began, and I was asking you, what the heck do you do?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that you said was navigation. And for so many families, I know that that is the single most difficult part.
For sure.
Of after you get through the shock that, mm-hmm. hey, my kid is not going to have the life that I thought. After you get past that, then it's figuring out how do we navigate life now.
That's right. It's so overwhelming, and there's no real clear answers for that. For me, my way of dealing with my daughter's diagnosis back when she was diagnosed in 2004 was to jump right in and try and understand what I could do as her advocate. How do I navigate the medical system with the educational system, with the behavioral health system, with the intellectual and developmental disability system? And they're all different streams of funding and so confusing. They speak different languages. They're siloed. They don't necessarily talk to each other. So it's really either a parent or an advocate's job to kind of pull those pieces together. So at Devereaux, that's one of the things that I try and do for our families or community members is really bring them to the right services, point them in the right direction. And I don't have all the answers, but I will find it for them.
And you do deal with this from birth until death.
Yeah,
so that is getting as early intervention as possible, navigating the education system, and then keeping them in as long as possible, and then figuring out after education.
Yes, that's it's weighed on my mind heavily for when Annie turns 21. We call it the cliff for a reason because federal education funding goes away and then you're no longer entitled to these services for your child. And they're now an adult. So looking at what kinds of supports and if you can get a waiver and how you can implement some programming and housing or, you know, things for your individual to do during the day. I don't want my daughter just sitting on a couch, you know, watching Food Network all day, although we love to do that for downtime. That can't be her life, right? She needs to volunteer. She needs to be out with peers and in social networks. And so these are things that I'm, you know, since her diagnosis I've been thinking about, but now that she's, you know, she'll be 18 in January, so we're getting closer. I have to start really putting a plan together.
Erin Clemens, who's a big advocate for Asperger's, and she has a website and a blog, Asperger Sadie. And she was talking about, now she had a different upbringing, was not diagnosed until she was in the fifth grade, and no one had advised them. And so she went ahead and progressed through school and ended up graduating at 18, which put her out of the services.
If
she had only known, if she'd had an advocate earlier on, they could have planned better for her.
Yeah, I know Erin well. She's wonderful. She's a great self-advocate. But she's a great example of what happens when you have a system that doesn't account for early diagnosis. And there's often these little cracks where people kind of get through. They have great coping skills, but they pass the probably the ideal time for diagnosis. And it's really hard to then, as a family, get services later. Once the child's older, the school district had no idea. The family didn't have any idea. So it's kind of a sad story that they often get missed. Erin's a great example of how you can be so successful and turn things around. And she's really done an amazing job. And so, you know, having her assistance, she and I work together as well to help families. And having her input is also very hopeful and important for our families.
And at the beginning, I said, well, we were not going to just discuss autism spectrum disorder, autism mm-hmm. today. We were going to talk about a wider range. And obviously, if you're ASD, you might get diagnosed later on, but a lot of kids, if it's a birth injury yeah. or an intellectual disability, those show up almost immediately, and they're navigating the same problems, going through the same thing
right.
from day one.
That's right. And, you know, there's a lot of commonalities with these other conditions in that it is not intuitive and tricky to navigate these systems of care. It's also the same kind of core feelings that families go through when they get that diagnosis, no matter what age it is. I think either it can be a relief for families to finally put a name on, you know, the diagnosis, a name to the kind of that behavior or that condition, or it can be absolutely devastating, and you're just dealing with that core emotion of not having, you know, sort of the dream for your child that you thought you would have. You have to reformulate that dream.
And you have to reformulate what's going to happen after you're gone and what's going to happen after the education ends. And again, yep. intellectual disability, a physical disability, or ASD.
Yes.
Things change drastically.
Right. I can never die, Laura. That's my that's my thing. I mean, honestly, all of our parents and families worry about this. All of our caregivers, you know, no one will care for your child the way that you do. And so trying to very early put your head around that and then plan, have a plan for that is probably the key to success for families, although it's very difficult emotionally to have to plan for these things so early.
And you have other kids.
So I do, yeah.
It's getting them, so they have to be on board, unfortunately, all along.
Yeah, I have two boys, Ryan, who's almost 16, Danny, who's almost 19. Lovely house of teenage and hormones. But, you know, they understand that Annie's condition is lifelong and it takes a village. And although I would never ask them formally to commit themselves to having to be her caregiver, I know that they'll always be involved in her life. My goal is to plan for other things, other ways to care for Annie, and then they can integrate as they're comfortable. I want them to have their own life, though, as well, and their own families and their own successes. So
that's where I guess I was going with that, because it's not just – life does seem to center around the child with the special
sure.
needs, but they have siblings that need to be involved and get attention as well. And now how do you navigate that? How does Devereaux programming incorporate the total family into
yeah.
things?
Well, we are at Devereaux, family engagement is one of our building blocks for, you know, our care model, pardon me. And it's absolutely pivotal to success of the child or individual in treatment, but also for the success of that family to be able to have a quality of life and to be functioning in a you know, sort of, I'll say normal with air quotes, because there really is no such thing as normal, I've learned. Everybody's got their own version of normal. But for them to have a fulfilling life altogether with their individual with the disability and with the rest of their family, it's hard as a parent to juggle that. You know, in my house, it's if Annie ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. And honestly, that's how it goes. And her brothers have just learned, like, we all have to work together to make things a success for Annie. But once we do, it's a success for our whole family. And we can enjoy things as as a family together. When she has a tantrum or isn't able to do some things and is having a difficult time, it really makes it hard for all of us. And that's just kind of the reality of life with autism and IDD, which is intellectual and developmental disabilities.
What are some of the programs that she's experienced, or how is she, what are the programs that are offered? And if you want to start, again, this is
sure.
birth through death,
sure,
so
right.
you want to go through them again?
Yeah, sure. So early intervention that we talked about, that early diagnosis is key. Having an early intervention program, whether it's preschool with a highly structured environment, it'd be a small student and staff ratio, so you want smaller classrooms, that's really important. And then having a plan to transition into school, whatever that school looks like. Annie goes to Devereux Cares, which is an approved private school. She was not able to be integrated into her, you know, our public school, which, of course, was devastating to me as a mom in my own way, because I had dreams of her riding the bus with her brothers, and they all would go to the same school. They're very close together. But once we found the right program for Annie and saw her success, it was life-changing, as I mentioned. And then after the school age, around age 14, you're starting to look at vocational training. We're thinking ahead for when they turn 21 and they're in the real world, whether it's through actually holding a job, a paying job, or whether it's through volunteer work and having a job in that way. The other thing is we have to look at where they're going to be moving forward. So services change. Right now, you know, my daughter gets wraparound services on top of her school. Wraparound is behavioral health rehabilitative services. They offer them in different states. Pennsylvania calls it wraparound. But she has a therapist come every day after school for 3 hours. And they teach her things like game playing and turn taking and safety skills and things that, you know, are critical to her life success. Once she turns 21, again, those services end as well. So we will be looking for putting together, sort of the same type of program, a day program, for her to stay busy as an adult. And then you have to look at the lifespan, right, where she deserves, just like every other person, a quality of life and to feel successful and to be happy. And I think putting together the right program and surrounding her with the right individuals and peers and staff is going to be critical to that success. So, you know, that's nerve-wracking to think about, and it's very sort of unknown territory to lay that out. Devereux does have some adult services that we offer. We have an autism program called the CAP program. But we're looking, when I, you know, look at the broader picture, there has to be more than just that program for her. I'm looking at, you know, the rest of her life and how to piece things together. And, you know, this is often a quandary that families go through.
Dr. Harris was talking about that. And we actually, that's the reason I met Erin, because we were talking about, we put so much emphasis on getting that diploma and finishing, transitioning into public schools, getting a diploma, and then forgetting that the social skills and vocational skills and the life skills that someone needs when they turn 21 and they're out of that system. Right. And so that was what we chatted a lot about.
Graduation can be for someone like Annie, it's almost a very sad day for families, because that comfortable programming where you knew they were successful and surrounded by staff who really care about them goes away. So I'm not looking forward to that. Annie will not have a diploma. She doesn't need one. You know, that's not important to her and not important for what I foresee as a successful future for her. And, you know, it does take some time to adjust to that from an intellectual perspective when our society is so focused on grades and degrees and that sort of thing. But I think, you know, understanding when families can really take a realistic look at their individual they love and understand, and I'm not saying limit them by any means, but understand what success looks like for them. So I don't ever cap what I think Annie can do. She's the greatest surprise. You know, she's like Christmas morning every day to me. She either we have a really bad day, like coal in the stocking, a really great day on occasion, like diamond earrings or a car, and then most days are just a pair of socks, right? But I think, you know, understanding what her best outcome looks like or optimal outcome is really important to have that realistic perspective.
Well, that defining success. And is it, and I can't remember now who's told me this, because Deborah has been on several times.
That's great.
But that success to many people who are receiving the services, their clients, is a social life and being integrated.
That's right.
Being
yeah.
integrated into society.
Yeah. For me, I mean, my goal is for Annie to be happy and to feel like she has a purposeful life. And that's success for her. So what that looks like, right, might change through the years. But it's not going to be about the grades. It's not going to be about the degrees. I mean, she can't tie her shoes still, right? That's not going to be a priority. We have Crocs, so we're good, you know. But being able to, you know, shower independently and cross the street without getting hit by a car, and understanding that you have to look both ways, not just because you were taught to, but really understanding that, those are important things.
And Aaron said that, well, Aaron has a friend or a coworker, mm-hmm. a coworker, but she has someone who works with her. And I can't remember what her title is.
Yeah.
But
like a supportive staff.
Supportive staff person. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, but look at you. You drive, you write, you're back in school. You know, she's got all of this stuff. She goes, yes, but I will slide back.
And she's really worked up. She's taken the small little steps it takes to get to the point she is. So I knew her when she didn't drive, right? And then I knew her when she only could drive two routes. And she had to go to that specific spot. But she did it in the right way to be able to build on the skills that she's been learning and then kind of expand on them from there. And having that support, whether it is through staff or family, you know, whoever, is critical to moving ahead and making these strides.
If you are just joining us today, we're talking to Amy Kelly. She's Devereaux Advanced Behavioral Health's Director of Family and Community Services. And we got to get into more of that, actually. Mm-hmm. If you'd like more information, go to devereaux.org. And Amy said I had to spell it, but I know that you can do it by Googling it, because I can't spell to save my life. But it is Deverex. But devereaux.org, the place to go for all this information. And I keep mentioning Erin. She blogs as Asperger's Safe. So look her up. She is wonderful, wonderful young lady. I'm Laura Lewis. You're listening to Our Delaware Valley. Teresa, a former director over at Delaware Autism, mm-hmm. Autism Delaware, that was it,
And
she gives the statement that everybody phrases at you at some point or another. When you've met somebody with autism, gosh, you met somebody.
Right. When you meet one person with autism, you meet one person with autism.
Right. And that's the same way with IDD. When you meet somebody with an intellectual disability, well, gosh, you met somebody with an intellectual disability. But let's go into getting anybody to school, actually, because we started out, we were going to do tips on getting a child with special needs ready and back into school. But actually, gosh, I think a lot of it's going to apply to absolutely everybody.
It does. You know, one of the greatest things I have learned through Annie's journey with autism and services is parenting skills that work for all of my kids. And the first thing to that, I think, is structure. Having a routine and structure just provides a sort of a safety for kids to know what to expect, even though, you know, you want to switch it up once in a while so it doesn't get monotonous. But in general, kids really need that comfort. So, you know, the first thing I would start with, and it's sort of a behind the scenes thing, but about a month before we're getting ready for school, which is around now for some school districts, you want to start thinking about getting them back on that school schedule from a sleep perspective. So getting them back to bed on time at night and getting them up early, ready to get, you know, ready for the bus or walking to school. Ways to do that, I would start with 15-minute increments. So slowly you're going to, you know, decrease that time of them, you know, staying up late by 15 minutes and do that for a couple days and another 15 minutes. And I would start setting that alarm or start waking them up a little bit earlier so that they're ready to go. The other thing that you can do together that I think gets them ready is to start counting down. You want to start pumping them up and getting them excited for school, but you can use a calendar or you can use, you know, a list of dates or whatever works. My daughter's very visual, so a calendar would work where we cross off days But you start saying, hey, we've got 15 days till school starts, exciting, and really sounding enthusiastic, because some kids are, you know, they have anxiety about starting a new school year. They're not really looking forward to giving up their summer vacation.
I was going to say the countdown would mean a countdown till doom.
Well, and for some parents, it's a countdown till sanity, right? Like, summer can be one of the hardest times. I used to beg Annie's staff. I was like, please come back or take her, help me, because those weeks off were so difficult to get her out of her routine. So whichever, you know, side you're on as a family, I think it's just important to start counting down and then being encouraging and positive about it.
It's a positive experience.
That's
at the end
right.
of that countdown.
Yep. And generating that excitement, talking about their friends they're going to see or their new teacher or their school or some of the activities and field trips you know that are coming up. I mean, those are important things. You can use a visual schedule if you want with our families to help them kind of foresee, you know, what's going on. Visual schedule is just using pictures to kind of lay out pictures. It could be pictures and words, but lay out what it will, you know, really look like. A lot of individuals with special needs respond well to that visual part rather than just hearing it. So if they have an iPad, you can do it on there. You can handwrite it. There's lots of different options to do that. And then another thing, and this was my favorite part about going back to school, is when you go buy supplies together, right? Like the new backpack or a new pencil box, or for kids with, you know, special needs or ADHD, or, you know, they might need some fidget toys. But things that you know is going to get them excited about it, and it's going to really put into their head, okay, school is coming, school is coming. You may also want to think about an extra set of clothes. So my daughter, I always have to send in a spare pair of clothes in case there's some sort of an accident, whether it's painting or, you know, lunch or whatever. Also, they do swimming. So buying a new bathing suit or sending in a bathing suit, just getting stocked up on the things that you know are coming. And I think having your child be as much part of that as they are willing to be and you can get them involved is a big component of, you know, producing that excitement.
That was always the hottest time for me. That was the only time in the summer that I thought about school in a positive
mm-hmm.
way.
Mm-hmm.
Getting the new notebook
totally.
And the shoe and
oh,
getting
yeah.
it. Yeah. And just what.
Yeah.
Talking about that. That
yeah.
was the, that's what got me through.
Yeah. I'm with you. Me too. Me too. And then, you know, for some kids, they may need that extra step of prep. So we talked about a visual schedule. There's a couple other options you can do. You can create, it's called a social story. So there would be pictures of what, you know, their day is going to look like and sort of what's coming up. So for Annie, my daughter, it might say, Annie, school's starting soon. You're going to start taking the bus in the morning and you'll have a picture of the school bus. And then you're going to have a fun day at school and you can kind of show pictures from a previous school year or a generic picture of that school day, you know. You'll have lunch, whatever the highlights of that, if it's gym or lunch or whatever they enjoy most. And then I would show that school bus home and then talk about, you know, oh, when you come in, mom or dad will be so excited to see you. You know, we'll do homework, whatever the next steps are. But lay out that, you know, that sort of routine ahead of time. We always, my kids, they come in, take off their shoes, wash their hands, have a snack, and then it's homework time. And, I mean, since they were little in school age, this is what they've done, and they do it, and it's, you know, just part of our routine, but they know what they're doing.
It's that safety base.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's comfort. They know the plan. And then they have their homework done early. We have dinner together, and then we have free time, whether it's time together or, you know, that Fortnite time that my son likes. I don't know about that myself, but... But the other thing you can do, if there's a new school program, you can certainly ask to take a tour with your child. You know, apprehension can be a big thing with a new classroom or new staff. And so going to actually meet the staff, the teachers, going to see the classroom, driving the bus route, those are all things that can help get your child prepared, whether or not they have special needs. These are great things. I did it when my kids were kindergartners and they were really nervous about starting school. And then touching base with those teachers and therapists that you know will be working with your child. Every child that has special needs should have some sort of an individualized education plan or a 504 plan, but it's a formal plan with the school on how to, evaluate success in school, and it has their goals and that sort of thing. You may want to touch base with those teachers and therapists to make sure you're all on the same page. Give them some updates about the summer. Annie had really great vacation, in August, but was had a really difficult time transitioning back, and this is what's going on with her, so that they have an idea ahead of time. And then looking at also developing a communication log so that you can keep that communication going with the staff and the teachers. You can decide on the timing, based on what's best for your child and your family and the teacher. And you can decide on the format, whether it's, a little notebook that comes back and forth or an email or a text. But you want to make sure you keep that communication going so that you can make sure all the goals and the school objectives are met.
And, of course, all of this applies to any kid who is starting school.
That's right. Yeah, they don't have to necessarily have special needs or not. I would suggest, though, that, for families either just starting the school system or a new school program, or for families that have an individual with special needs, autism, IDD, whatever the concern is, that you learn your resources in your area and who are advocates that can help you. There's many organizations that have free family advocates, and you can kind of Google that for your county. I know there's ARCs and things like that where they provide, an advocate to kind of help you understand the process that you're going through and what to ask for. I am also available to assist families if they shoot me a quick email or give me a quick call. I'm happy to start them in the right direction with, how to navigate and what kinds of goals and things that they should be considering when they move into this new school year.
It has to be absolutely terrifying that once you're putting your child in a new in the stream.
Yeah.
Even
putting them on a bus is terrifying, right? Especially my daughter can't talk, so she has an aide on her bus so that person's there for her communication, can read her iPad, because obviously we don't want the bus driver doing that while they're driving, right? But those little things lead to big success. So I think it's important when we piece it all together, that's how you look at a successful school year.
And for a parent with a special need, again, that you're starting them off. Well, one early interview.
Yeah.
And for a parent with a special needs, especially, that this path is going to be veering off throughout the progression through the school
That's
years.
Right.
And getting started the right way with every resource that mm-hmm. is available to you is vital.
That absolutely. It's like a toolkit, if you imagine, or your little toolbox. And you may not use all the tools at once, but over the span of that life of the child, you're going to be using those tools frequently. So we want to start building toolkits and those toolboxes for our families out there.
The decisions that you make early
yep.
will have ramifications far later on.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And parting words, what do you say to all of us?
Well, I say get ready for the new school year and, be optimistic, even if your child isn't and they have some apprehension. I think it's really important that you model that behavior and you model what, a happy, successful day looks like. And just be transparent and lay it out there for them in the way that they can interpret that information. You know your kid best.
You know your kid best. That's
yep.
the final words. You can't beat that.
That's right.
And, of course, for more information about what we talked about today, go to devereux.org, D-E-V-E-R-E-U-X, devereux.org for Devereux Advanced Behavioral Health. You'll find Amy Kelly there. She is the Director of Family Community Services, and you can reach out to her there as well at devereux.org. Amy, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you so much, Laura.
Good luck on the new year.
Thanks.
I'm Laura Lewis. This has been our Delaware Valley.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.